Finovate showcases cutting-edge banking and financial technology through a global conference series featuring short-form demos and thought leadership. Now, the conversation continues on the Finovate podcast.
Welcome to the Finovate podcast. This is Greg Palmer. Joining me today, we have Allison Clark, principal analyst at Forrester Research. You may have seen analyst on our stages previously. She's been a frequent participant in our analyst all-star sessions there. Allison, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Greg.
So what we're doing is a little bit of a virtual analyst all-star session here, talking through some of the big changes that are taking place in the global economy right now, particularly around COVID-19 and the recession that looks like it is looming, if it's not technically already here yet. Obviously, really big, scary changes for a lot of the different industries throughout the world. FinTech is no exception. And what I'd like to do today is just get your thoughts on how these big pieces are going to be shifting the way we look at FinTech and how FinTech continues to develop. So with that sort of very general prompt, I'll turn it over to you to share some of your thoughts.
Sure, absolutely. I'd love to. So, you know, it's interesting times, right? Because there's kind of two things going on. We've got the coronavirus situation now and this uncertainty of not knowing when the economy is going to open back up again and how long we're going to be in this, but also knowing that at the other side of this, we are going to be in a recession. I think we've all kind of realized that that's almost a certainty at this stage. So, you know, as we think through that, I think some of the things we're going to see, you know, very clearly we're going to see fintech funding slow, especially for new or less established startups. And in fact, I think it will slow across the board from VCs to corporate funding. So I think that's going to be kind of some of the downside for the fintechs. I think in terms of financial services firms and banks and so on, you know, what's going to happen out of the recession here with them? I think they're going to do what they naturally do, and that's let's focus on cost cutting and making the operations more efficient and so on. Sadly, some of that focus will be on automation and things like that for the sake of reducing headcount too. And the problem with that is that they really need to be focused on productivity, not just cost cutting, because, and I say this a lot, key to recessions is preparing for the upturn. Not preparing for the recession, but preparing for the upturn.
Well, I like that you're kind of already skipping ahead to that, because I do think that's a really important thing for both fintechs and banks to be thinking about right now. I mean, there is obviously a storm that needs to be weathered, but coming out of that storm and being in a good position to do something and build something and come back up, I think is really important. Are there any pieces of or any specific areas where you see, you know, banks being able to kind of prepare themselves and set themselves up well to be able to come out of it in a good place?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, even if we think back to the last recession, some of the mistakes that some firms made, you know, as I said, by purely focusing on costs or kind of, you know, doing the bare minimum to keep the lights on, they didn't survive so well when the economy turned again and was improving. And of course, then we had all this disruption with fintechs come into play to start kind of moving in on their turf. So I think, you know, what financial services firms and banks need to do is they need to focus on, as they try to reduce costs and focus on technologies like automation and AI, they have to focus on re-engineering their processes as well. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean re-engineering around the customer and not the product, and re-engineering to become more agile so that you've got the ability to adapt quickly as consumers and environment adapts, which is we know is going to happen on the upturn after the next recession. And it's also, I think, about instead of focusing on how do I get rid of employees because they cost too much money and how do I lay off staff, it's how do I improve the productivity of my employees? How do I invest in technologies and things that will do that on the front line and in the back office so that those employees can focus on higher value tasks? Because, you know, those that take the time to invest in that re-engineering and are smarter about what they do now, so re-engineering about the customer, driving productivity, and ensuring agility, they're going to be better positioned for the upturn. And in fact, I predict, I know that they will grow much faster than their peers when the economy picks up, than those peers that are just purely focusing on kind of ripping the costs out of the business to save money.
Well, and I think looking back at the last recession is really a smart thing to do as well, because in many ways, the kind of the modern fintech era was born out of that credit crunch of 2007, 2008, and even continuing, obviously, into the start of this past decade. And we saw a really interesting thing happening there where there were a lot of bankers who had been let go, who had this kind of expertise inside of the inner workings of the inside of banks. And they were able to partner with technologists who could code something. And that combination was really interesting. And I think, you know, what happened in that one, it was a lot of the inefficiencies of banks were exposed, and they were brutally exposed in a very painful way. And then it sort of opened the door for people to come in and say, okay, let's see what we can improve here. Let's see if we can make some changes for increased operational efficiency. I think where we're at right now, we haven't necessarily seen that same kind of brutal exposure of the inefficiencies that exist. But if you look at the last 10 years, there hasn't been a real need for a lot of financial institutions to focus on optimizing everything because things have been good. You know, it's been easy to expand. It's been easy to say, okay, we can play with technology. And now there's going to be this increased need to say, okay, what do we really need to keep? What can technology help us to do? And how can we streamline a little bit to your point of, you know, making workers more efficient, more effective in what they're doing? I think that's an incredibly astute observation. And so, you know, I think the challenge then becomes for fintechs who are looking to engage with these banks, how can I prove that I'm able to offer value in that new environment? Obviously, the increased attention to efficiency is going to be playing right into certain fintech's hands. For others, it may actually be something which they have to rethink and try and redo their value propositions. But I think there is certainly a door opening for a type of fintech that we maybe haven't seen as much in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, it's the world is definitely in the ground is definitely shifting a lot under the fintechs right now and will for the next little while. I think one of the biggest shift is that, you know, we're going to see a shift from partnerships to acquisition. I think the smart banks and financial services firms that have been building up a war chest and already looking for acquisitions are going to be in luck. Sadly for the fintechs, it's not going to be at the valuations that they want. But at the same time, we're also going to see those smart banks and financial services firms use this downturn as an opportunity to pick up some new talent as well. I think there's been a war on talent and great innovative and fintech talent. And I think this is going to be a great opportunity for them to pick some of that up. You know, for the fintechs that will come through this, I think the fintech lenders are going to do it tough. Some people think they're going to do great. I actually think they're going to do it very tough because they can't compete on some of the things that they can do for their customers in their time of need because they don't have the capital behind them. I think some of the investment fintechs aren't going to do as well as what people think. I mean, look at Robinhood's situation. And what that means is that a lot of fintechs that are direct to consumer are going to end up losing trust and confidence with their customers during this time, and they won't be able to win it back. So they're going to struggle to keep the consumer-facing business, which means they'll either get bought or they're going to have to pivot into a tech play, a pure tech play to serve the banks. I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, we've got a lot of categories that are crowded, right? Because the growth of fintech, we're in a mature phase in a sense in terms of fintech and innovation in financial services. So there's digital banks and lenders and people that do account opening and personalized offers. It's very, very crowded. And the downturn is going to sort the wheat from the chaff. It's going to be those that have a very kind of solid position, a well-proven solution with their clients, particularly a proven solution on particularly on back-end and operational stuff that are going to survive out of this or at the very least kind of retain some of their valuations if they do end up being bought.
I'd like to come back to one of the first things you said there, and talking about talent and the, you know, availability of talent. It's going to be really interesting to see because, you know, on the one hand, you've got, you know, credit coming down, venture capital likely coming down. So the amount of money available to fintechs is going to decrease, is how it looks anyway. The amount of potential talent available to fintech firms is potentially going to increase. And this is going to be fascinating to see, you know, which outweighs which. You know, is having talented employees worth more than having early stage capital? Obviously, in an ideal situation, you have both. And we'll never get a pure answer on this because it's not, you know, going to be that linear. But it is something which I think, if you look back in 2008, 2009, 2010, there wasn't very much capital available for a lot of those early companies. Venture capitalists didn't quite know what to do with fintech companies at that stage, but there was talent out there, and we saw a lot of really creative solutions. And in many cases, if you look at it purely from a technology standpoint, if you're some sort of, you know, judge, arbiter of purely looking at the tech that was available, there was really exciting stuff happening then, and maybe even more exciting than has been going on in the last couple of years. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens if this recycled talent can help really spur the industry and kickstart it into some new and creative solutions. So now this seems like a good point to kind of transition a little bit, because we've sort of hinted around at some of the opportunities that exist. But are there any kind of clear opportunities that you see coming as a result of all this? And I don't mean to say that these are going to outweigh any of the painful moments which are going to come. There are obviously quite a few painful situations on the horizon. And the question of whether or not it's worth it is not really worth getting into. But there are still opportunities that will come from this type of situation. And I'm just curious if there's anything that kind of jumps immediately to your mind.
Yeah, there definitely is. I think that the survivors and the opportunities and the innovation is going to be focused on the back office. It's going to be about back office efficiencies and operational efficiencies, because all of the innovation we've seen to date, a lot of the amazing things we've seen, a lot of the stuff that's come out since the last recession, like, oh, wow, that's so cool. It's usually front end stuff. And what we're now seeing is such a maturity in that area that I think those that can really come up and come up with solutions that are scalable for improving the back office and also improving employee collaboration and productivity. I mean, gosh, we all know the valuation of Zoom and what's going on right now, yeah. Right? I mean, we're doing this via Zoom.
Not to give them a plug, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, that employee collaboration, that digital collaboration that makes you more productive, the back office efficiencies that allow you to leverage and drive more scale. I mean, that's the stuff, that's where we're going to see the next wave of innovation. I think we'll also see some innovation around risk this time, perhaps a little bit more around risk solutions and risk management. I'm not quite sure what that will look like. And you know what? I'm kind of a little bit excited about, or hopeful, I could be wrong, but we might actually finally get digital payments sorted out in this country.
Oh my goodness.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I suppose it says something that our reaction is immediately to both laugh at that, but it would be nice. Yes. That would be, and maybe this is what it takes, because these type of ground shifting moments are where those big leaps can be made. And so I think there is something there. There's some potential there. And I think also, you know, to your point, this might be an era where we do have to focus more on kind of the quote-unquote serious side of fintech, the back end, the efficiency side, and the less quote-unquote
it's not the sexy it's the side. Unsexy side. Right. It's the unsexy side, but it's what will have the most impact.
And there's our bell, but I think that's a good spot to leave it. And, you know, again, it'll be really interesting to see how this continues to unfold, because one thing that I've learned about fintech in my time watching the space is that it's full of intelligent, resilient people who can find opportunities and really jump at them. And so hopefully there will be some good pieces that come out of this, some ways that the industry gets pushed forward in a meaningful way. And, you know, again, not to say that it will be worth it, quote unquote, but, you know, at least some positive could come out of all of this. Well, thank you again for joining me. I look forward to the next opportunity we have to have you back on our stage and share your thoughts in our Analyst All-Star format. But in the meantime, be well, and thanks again.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Cheers.
The Finovate podcast is produced by Informa Connect in association with Provoke.fm Media. Check out Finovate.com for information on Finovate's upcoming shows and to learn how you can get involved. The discount code Finovate Podcast will save you 20% on tickets to all of our events. And you can email us at info@finovate.com for information on sponsoring, speaking, or demoing. Thanks for listening.